Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. When it comes to the Kansas City School District, lots of wheels are turning. One big issue, will the state allow students to transfer to better performing school districts? If so, what does that bode for the Kansas City School District? The district, seeing what's happened in the St. Louis area, is trying to nip this idea in the bud. So are area school superintendents. Their fear allowing transfers could bankrupt the district. Whether the General Assembly will change the law to halt the transfers very much remains to be seen and will be considered during the next session of the General Assembly. Meanwhile, there are concerned parents wondering what in the world they should do with their kids and what they can do. Today, a conversation about all these wheels in motion in the Kansas City School District. With us is Joe Robertson. He covers the district for the Kansas City Star. Joe, good to have you back again. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Glad to be here.
And Bob Bartman, the superintendent from the Center School District, will join us in just a moment. Well, Joe, I wanted to begin with breaking news this week and your story in the Star about evidence of fraud and academic integrity violations at Hope Academy. That's a charter school inside the Kansas City School District. What are the accusations there?
Yeah, and Hope Academy, I think, keep in mind, they are an alternative school. Their mission when they started is to try to recover dropout students. So they have this difficult task for them when they began, but and they've had performance problems that have been easy to see for a while. But the thing that came up with the state was that they had problems with their attendance records. They had problems with some credits they get for service learning. And these things are tied to money, and so that was another concern. But the state made a surprise visit after they had gotten some
tips, sounds like.
Yeah. Well, their attendance data was just put up some red flags. Their attendance data was showing them to be having a higher attendance than you would expect at a very smooth, high-performing high school.
Almost perfect attendance,
yeah,
according 90, to your
it's
story.
Like 99%. Right. Yeah, I worked on that story with Murray Williams, and we called the state about this, and they did a surprise visit back, and there was a very few. I mean, this a school that was supposed to have like 600, more than 600 students, had about 174, I think, in school that day. And so they just raised these flags. Their sponsor is the University of Missouri, Kansas City, and they notified them, and they told the Hope Academy has their own board. They're an independent school as a charter school, and they have their own board. And so now they're doing their own investigation, their own audit, and UMKC is supposed to report back to the state by December 1st about what they found on this.
Do you have any sense of attendance records at other charter schools also are under review right now?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's a good question because the average daily attendance is how they determine how much funding schools get. And so attendance records, I'm sure the state wants to keep good close track of that.
Now, you mentioned that UMKC is the school sponsor. UMKC has asked for a state audit. Is that going to happen, Joe? And if so, when?
Yeah, the UMKC is supposed to provide a report back by December 1st. And so, you know, the state has now got more. The state has more authority now, opportunities to step in with schools because it's generally been upon the sponsor. It's been their responsibility to determine if a school. And UMKC has like Derek Thomas Academy when they had problems with there. They have withdrawn charters, and so the state though does have an ability to not renew charters now. And of course, we also in the news. Previously, Gordon Parks had problems with their performance, and in that case, the state the court determined that the state had overstepped its bounds. So this is still an area that everyone's figuring out as to where the state steps in, what their role is. But you know, but DESE, the state, the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, is saying this is a problem.
And just a final point here, not to belabor the point about Hope Academy. Why would an academy inflate attendance numbers? What's in it for them? More money in terms of, is attendance tied to state aid, or why would somebody do that?
Well, I guess a couple things, and I should be clear, we don't know if this was just a mistake or if there was, if there was some active effort to pad in attendance, there could be fraud because there's money involved. But there's also attendance is one of the areas that schools are measured on. You know, there's their test performance, but attendance. Graduation rates; these are things that, and charter schools are under more pressure now than they've been in the past because now they are still not accredited by the state. They are still kind of beholden to their sponsor. But now, for several years now, for the past few years, DESE has been scoring charter schools under the same system. So while they're not accrediting them, they are publishing their performance in their annual performance reports right there along with all the Kansas City public schools. And so they're feeling that heat.
Okay. I want to bring Robert Bartman into our conversation. He's the superintendent of the Center School District. And, Bob, let me ask you a question about not your district, but somebody else's district, the Kansas City, Missouri School District. I'm just wondering what your sense is, Bob, about just how much confusion there is out there in the Center School District among parents trying to figure out what in the world to do with their kids come the next school year.
Well, I don't know how much confusion there is. We try to keep our community apprised of what's going on. I think, though, that the Kansas City School District has done a remarkable job in improving their status, well, not the final score, but at least the score on their things that the state credits them on, and that's there to be commended for that, and we're all hopeful that they'll continue that progress on into this current year and in future years.
Bob, maybe a better question would have been, are you getting lots of inquiries from parents in the Kansas City School District about possibly attending your school district?
We haven't so far. About a year ago, when things were really in a flux, we received something like 100 inquiries, and we took their names and told them when the road was clearer that we would get back to them. And so far, we've not been back to them. There's been a lot of things going on that has none of which have provided clarity, but they have provided some confusion. So, but we haven't had recently a lot of inquiry.
Okay. Joe Robertson, your sense from talking to parents of students in the Kansas City, Missouri School District, how much confusion are you sensing among these parents with, you know, lawsuits going on, legislation being considered, the future seeming to be so much up in the air right now?
I think what's really mysterious to me about this to me, and I think what makes this such a difficult situation for schools is that no one really knows what parents want to do. Parents, a lot of them don't know what they want to do, and we don't really have a good sense of how many people would actually transfer given the opportunity. You know, the Kansas City, unlike the two schools in St. Louis area that are unaccredited that are dealing with this right now, are Normandy and Riverview Gardens. They don't have charter schools, and so Kansas City, for people who have been dissatisfied, who've been restless. I mean, they, for 10 years now, those people who wanted a public school option, they've had the opportunity to go to charter schools.
Yeah, good point.
And so and of course, those charter schools have waiting lists. And then we also have a number of people that are families out there that are homeschooling or paying for private tuition, because you don't have to actually be attending a Kansas City public school under this law to be able to transfer. You just have to be living in the boundaries. And so, Independence, when they, a while back, several years ago, they annexed some of Kansas City School District and Western Independence, and they had trouble. They had some overcrowding problems because there were people that were not in the public schools that appeared at that point. So I don't know if anyone knows if there are people there waiting to get into Kansas City to use this opportunity to transfer, or if people have already made that choice and the people that are left are not going to be the ones that would be moving out.
Joe, has the district even put the issue of the potential of transfers on the table? Do parents, are they weighing that option right now, or will that come at some point next year if the state law isn't changed?
Yeah, I don't think there is a Supreme Court case right now that's pending involving the Kansas City area and some of the several area school districts, and that's been kind of the I don't know if it's the rationale right now for no one taking any action. And when I've talked to Kansas City Public Schools, they say that they're not really getting much interest in this right now. And the school districts that would be receiving them, I just recently was actually polled them myself, trying to find out, the question that you asked Dr. Bartman earlier, like, what are they getting? And they're saying they're not taking these, they're not recording these, they don't really have a sense right now that there is this people, pounding at the gates to leave.
But if the state law isn't changed, the process of transferring would begin, what, next August for the next school year, Joe, or when would it begin?
Well, the state has already set up guidelines, because the state wants and I guess I should also point out that all these guidelines around that the state are doing are all just they're not in the law. And one of the other problems is that everything that all these limitations and things, guidances that's being put into it, all could be challenged if somebody just wanted to transfer against this guidance. So, but the state is doing their best to help with this, and there is by early in the spring, like I think by February or families that want to transfer, they recommend that the schools require them to give them that notice this spring. Mm-hmm. And so they can begin planning and doing the transfers for the 2014-2015 school year. But there's a lot of deadlines that the state has recommended.
So 2014-2015, that's a year down the road then you're talking about.
Yeah, it'd be the
wouldn't be next fall.
It would be this fall.
It would be next fall, right? I'm getting my years mixed up. 2014-2015. Okay.
Right.
Bob Bartman, why don't you shed some light on this from your vantage point, again, as superintendent of the Center School District. Where do you think we're going here? Do you have any sort of insights that might help people sort through all this?
Yeah. Well, we, as you may know, the group of superintendents met under the leadership of Roger Kurtz of Missouri Association of School Administrators and tried to fashion a different way to deal with issues where students are not getting maybe the best education that they could get. We believe as a group that what we need to focus on is all students, not just those willing to transfer, but all students in all buildings, in all communities, in the current accreditation program that was set up some time ago and is moving in a good fashion doesn't do that kind of thing, because the law and the accreditation program when coupled together deals only with the district and it provides for the transfer of kids from a school district to another school district.
Mm-hmm.
And as is the case that we see being experienced on the eastern side of the state, we have maybe 20% of the youngsters in those two districts that are unclassified or unaccredited leaving and going to other districts, which is causing financial burdens on the district of residence, and in effect will dilute the program for all the kids left behind. And that doesn't seem to be a course of action that is going to be helpful to all students, all communities. And so we're suggesting that we rethink that and focus on school buildings and take actions in a more timely fashion to support school districts that are beginning to fail, school buildings, I should say, that are beginning to fail. Provide interventions, because if the school fails, the community loses a pretty significant part of who the community is. And so it's really important that as we rethink this methodology of how do you raise the level of education for all students, that we keep the school building and the community in mind and all students.
Yeah. And Joe Robertson, just to be clear here, so everyone's on the same page, what's so important here is this idea that under current state law, you know, because the Kansas City, Missouri Public School District is unaccredited, the district itself, Kansas City Public Schools, must pay for the cost of tuition and transportation for students who opt to transfer to a different district. So the district's on the hook potentially for millions of bucks. And what we're seeing over in the St. Louis side of the state are districts facing the possibility of actually going bankrupt here.
Right. Yeah. The state has already asked the commissioner's office education for a line item of like $6.8 million that they figured that the Normandy School District is going to need
to stay afloat.
To stay afloat.
That's a lot of money, Joe.
Yeah. And it's the issue was made, in the court cases that there was an unfunded mandate in here, unconstitutional. And the court's ruling in the Supreme Court in the St. Louis case was that, well, no, the money is being moved around, but no one's being asked to do anything different. The same students are trying to be educated. The same students are being held, wherever they are. The Missouri case, the St. Kansas City side, there is some hope that the court, although it's the same court, so there's not a whole lot of expectation that they'll change their decision on this. But, they now have some hard evidence that there are costs to this. You know, mm-hmm. there are that districts cannot deal with. I mean,
but there's so many moving parts here, Bob Bartman. I mean, there is a lawsuit underway. Lawmakers are looking at this. Come January, they'll be reconsidering the school student transfer law. Your group of school superintendents has a proposal on the table. And again, I guess sort of the point of this program is there are parents out there watching all this or struggling to follow all this and wondering, what on earth should I do with my kids? There's just a whole lot of moving parts here, Bob.
Yeah, absolutely. That's correct. And under the state guidelines, as Joe Robertson mentioned, that there is a window in the spring or late winter, early spring, where parents that are interested in possibly going to another district, unless something dramatically different happens before that time, probably ought to make their wishes known and go through the whatever the application process is.
Mm-hmm.
But the big consideration, I think, for all of us across the state ought to be what is a better way to make sure that no school fails. And we believe that you can see that happening. The APR, the annual performance reports, are not just district reports, but they're actually reports on individual buildings as well. And so when you begin to see a building within a district that begin to deteriorate or beginning to lower their achievement levels, that's the time to that you need some kind of intervention, some kind of help that goes to those school buildings.
And Bob, that's not happening now.
Well, that's I'd say not in a very formal way. It's left up to the district itself to provide those interventions, and what has happened, and too often that it goes ignored until it's too late. And then you have episodes like you have in Normandy and Riverview Gardens.
Yeah,
they didn't get to that point overnight. And had there been somebody focusing attention, the state or the local board or the superintendent focusing attention on the individual buildings within the district, and the minute they saw signs that they were deteriorating with regard to student achievement, provided help. Resources, reviewed the curriculum, reviewed the leadership at the building level, all those types of things. If they'd have done that early enough, they could perhaps have prevented the buildings from deteriorating in their ability to provide programs to kids, and overall would help the district, keep the district from becoming eventually unaccredited.
You know, Bob, what's amazing to me is we sit here and wring our hands over, you know, public school education in the cities a lot, and yet you're telling me today that when a school begins to show signs that it's falling apart, that students aren't meeting testing objectives, that there's, in some cases, there's no intervention by anyone to go in and try to figure out early on what's going on inside that building.
Yeah, I think I don't want to say that there's no interventions, but it's been left up to a local board of education, which maybe at that point is not functioning on all cylinders. You need stability and leadership at the board level, and stability and leadership at the superintendent level, and then at each building. There was in the past, when the State Department had more resources, there was a process where review teams would go into school districts and review their capacity and what they were doing and making recommendations. And with the cutbacks and budgets at the state level, those review teams are no longer in existence, and it's really left up to local boards of education and superintendents and principals to self-manage that process of soliciting and getting assistance and turning their own buildings around. And what we're suggesting is that we go back to something similar to a review, an outside review process.
Mm-hmm.
When there are buildings in a district that are not functioning as well as they need to, and make recommendations to the state and make recommendations to the local board of education about what processes need to be changed, what has to happen for those,
right.
In order to prevent further deterioration of the education program in those facilities.
We're talking about all the changes taking place right now with Kansas City, Missouri schools, how parents are responding to all this. If you're a parent who lives within the boundaries of the Kansas City School District, and if you're wondering where you're going to send your kids in the coming years, we want to hear from you. Will you leave the Kansas City, Missouri District to go elsewhere, or will you pursue options inside the district? Our phone number here, 816-235-2888. Again, 816-235-2888. Or drop us an email to update@kcur.org. Let's go to some calls now. And Mike from Kansas City, Missouri. Mike, good morning.
Good morning. Let me just mention, and this isn't anything new to you guys, it's a sin to deprive a child of an education and then try to catch up later. It just never works, hardly. Anyways, I was going to comment on the group that the superintendent center is participating in. They formed that group, and pardon me, and I don't mean this to sound that negative. I don't mean it that way. They don't want the students, and you know, because it all it does is give them, it detracts from their performance, and also, I mean, from reading the newspaper, they're going to get a lot of troublemakers. And one other comment, DESE has, I can't remember precisely, but they took over a school one time. And they learned that they don't want to be in that business. They want to. So anyway, one final thing: if the kids move into these other districts like Center and then the others, there's going to be such a political uproar by the people that live in those districts that
right.
that in time it'll be changed.
Mike, I got your question. Bob Bartman, our caller, is saying that you guys don't want the students from the Kansas City, Missouri School District.
Well,
true or false?
That's false. I now speak only for myself. We already get students from the Kansas City School District. Our demography in the Center School District is virtually the same as it is in the Kansas City Public Schools. We have a high mobility rate, particularly among districts like Center, Kansas City School District Center. I would add Raytown and Grandview and Hickman Mills to that as well. We have a high mobility rate, and parents and youngsters move across the district lines and find some sort of residence and continue to move from one district to another. It is in Center's best interest for the Kansas City School District to become a stellar school district where all kids are learning at high levels. Because of the mobility rate, a lot of those kids end up in the Center School District. So it is just absolutely wrong to say that we don't want those kids. We get those kids virtually every day. Kids come to us from the Kansas City School District, and they demonstrate that they're residents of the Center District, and we put them in our schools and do the best we can, just like we do for our own kids.
Yeah,
I think there's a genuine interest among the folks that gathered to talk about this, a broader remedy to districts that are having difficulty, and I should say that although the most immediate challenges seem to be with urban districts, this is not just an urban issue. It's an issue of lots of school districts
mm-hmm.
that are currently provisionally accredited that are on the edge of not being accredited at all, and all over the state of Missouri. I can't tell you how many there are, but I know that then when we switch to the new Missouri standards, which are more rigorous than the ones that we're being assessed with right now, that there may be more districts that fall into the category of provisionally accredited or unaccredited. So although it is immediately an urban issue, In a year or two, it's going to be a state issue, if it's not a state issue right now.
All right.
Because of the rigor that we want our kids to be able to handle in the academics.
Bob, let's do this. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation about parents and what they're going to do with their kids when it comes to enrolling and staying with the Kansas City, Missouri School District. Are they going to stick with it? Are they going to bail? Again, our phone number here, 816-235-2888 is our phone number. When we come back, we'll talk with Jamika Kendricks about why students who transfer don't typically do a whole lot better than those who stay in the district. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. And we're back. I'm Steve Kraske. If you missed yesterday's conversation about Rupert Murdoch's media empire or our discussion of Tuesday's election results, you can find that and all of our previous broadcasts at kcur.org. Tomorrow on the program, we'll speak with local filmmaker Kevin Wilmot about his latest work, and we'll hear this week's Local Listen. Later on this hour, we'll visit with Tricia Johnson about a new website that helps Kansas City, Missouri school district parents navigate and find the right schools for their children inside the Kansas City School District. We're still joined by Joe Robertson from the Kansas City Star. Let's go back to some phone calls here, and let's go to Mary from Kansas City, Missouri. Mary, good morning.
Oh, hi, good morning. I wasn't expecting that.
Well, there you are, Mary. Welcome to the show.
Just to comment, my husband happens to be an employee with the city of Kansas City, Missouri. So we're restricted, obviously, to live in Missouri. And our challenge has been to try and explore various schools for my daughter who happens to be entering into high school. And we've had a struggle with this because of the many variables within the center school district. So my question is, as a parent, where do we turn? I have gone on the internet and explored. It's very difficult to discover the path within the Kansas City, Missouri school district. And just we need help. And the fact that, like I said, we're restricted to living within the district. And we are in the center school district.
Joe, what would you say to her?
Now, I want to be clear. You live in the center school district or the Kansas City public school?
Correct. We are in the center school district.
Daughter seeking options, yeah.
Oh, okay. First of all, I would visit Center High School, and I would talk to them there. Now, there are, of course, other than that, I guess you start looking at private school options, because Center does not – there are no charter schools in Center. Center, your public school choice is Center High School. And then – but then there's – you know, there are some other private school choices that you would have to probably just go out and visit them.
All right, Mary, I appreciate your phone call. We're joined now by Jamika Kendrick. She's a parent and a student advocate who's going to talk to us about why students who transfer don't typically do much better than those who stay in the district. Jamika, welcome to the show. Nice to have you.
Thank you.
Why is that the case? Because it seems counterintuitive. I mean, you'd think that if a student transferred to a better performing district, that they too would wind up performing better.
Well, I can tell you that we do know that they don't perform better when going to other districts. In 2011, when Kansas City Public Schools lost accreditation, the parents came together to do a lot of research to find out, you know, if it would actually be a good idea for the state to take over or dissolve the district or something like that. So we looked at how our students performed at other districts. And the way we did that is we pulled out low-income or free and reduced lunch, Black students and Hispanic students, because the Kansas City Public Schools are primarily Black and Hispanic and primarily free and reduced lunch. And so we found that most school districts over the course from 2006 to 2011 had increased the achievement level of those students by about 10%, between 10 and 15% over that time period. There were two school districts that had less than 5%. So everybody's around the same. Kansas City was somewhere around 12%. So we're kind of in the middle of that 10 to 15% range. But we weren't able to find exactly why, so we kind of did some investigating and asking questions. And what we found is, for the most part, people say that the children in the Kansas City Public Schools, because they are primarily low income, and there's a lot of different deficits that they have because it's a district where a lot of the students are not performing at the advanced and proficient level, where there are a lot of resources and supports that have to be poured into these students that aren't necessarily needed when you're looking at middle-class families. And so it's more expensive to educate these students. And so within Kansas City Public Schools, we have these students and we have monies to provide the supports and those kind of things. Obviously,
and they don't get the same kind of support, Shamika, when they go to a different district, you're saying?
They don't, because the districts can't necessarily afford it. And I think that's part of the reason that we have this conversation about the transfer law and the district paying tuition. I remember the Kansas City Public Schools were trying to cap the tuition and, you know, pay after the students had stayed for a while. And the other districts were saying, we can't afford to educate these children unless we're getting what you receive for them, and because it's important to be able to have those additional supports. So I think it's because of the need that these students carry with them being low-income minorities, that it's that when you move them somewhere else, they don't necessarily get a better education. They get into a better school district because you have a lot more middle-class families that are able to offset what's going on with that lower class.
You know, Chris Nicastro, the Missouri Education Commissioner, said something similar to KCUR's Sylvia Maria Gross. She said this: we have tried over several years to do a number of things to support and intervene in districts that are not performing at the level that we expect. And none of those, she said, have proven to be particularly effective over time. And I'm wondering, Shamika, have you talked to Chris Nicastro about all this?
Well, we've had, as the parents, the parent group in Kansas City Public Schools, we've had conversations with Dr. Nicastro. And in our opinion, the state hasn't done a whole lot to intervene. I think we do have the schools that are designated, I forgot what it's called. Joe, do you know what they're called?
The SIG schools, school improvement grant schools?
Yes, the SIG schools. I knew it was SIG, but it's school improvement grant schools. So they have those. But one of the things that we have an issue with the state is when things are happening in a district and say a district is in provisional accreditation or moving towards it, there aren't a whole lot of supports that are given. There isn't a whole lot of monitoring or the state coming in and saying, hey, let us look at what's going on. It's only after we get into the red zone where we've lost accreditation where you find the state coming in to try and figure out what to do. And so we feel like even though they've implemented the SIG school program, that's not enough, and it doesn't address all of the issues, and there isn't really an investigation about why. And until we look at, you know, into those individual districts and say, okay, why is this going on?
Mm-hmm.
And not just looking at those people we consider to be experts, but the people actually experiencing the problem, then it's really difficult to solve that problem.
You know, I gather then it goes without saying, Shamika, that you oppose the state transfer law that's now in effect. And where do you think that's going?
Well, I oppose it, but not for the reasons that most people would think. I oppose it because the underlying value of this transfer thing is to give parents options. And I think the people who made the law didn't speak to parents when they were deciding what options parents would want. But what this law does is it takes the option away from parents who want to send their children to a public neighborhood school that's providing a good education. Because like the superintendent from Center said, what happens is you have students transferring and money leaving this district, which means the district has less money to educate the children who choose to stay. And so now, you know, I don't have a school anymore because my district has been dissolved and my child has to be bused to another school, or I'm under a state-appointed governing team, which is not something that I would want to choose as a parent. And so I feel like there are laws that are being made and programs being put in, put in place to give parents options, but we were never included in the conversation about what kinds of options we want. And when you speak to most parents in the Kansas City Public Schools, what they want is for their child to be able to attend a school in their neighborhood and to be able to know that that school will provide them with a quality education.
And Jamaica, just one final point. How confused are the parents you're visiting with around the district about all the stuff going on and what might lie in their futures?
Extremely. Very
yeah.
frustrated. It's kind of in limbo. Like, are we going to have a school district? Where is my child going to go?
Yes.
If I to transfer them, will they have to come back if the district gets accreditation? So, very.
Oh, boy. Well, Jamaica, I appreciate you taking a few minutes with me. Again, that's Jamaica Hendricks, who opposes the transfer law. She says that students who transfer don't typically wind up doing much better than those who stay inside the district. Jamaica, thanks so much for taking your time today.
Thank you.
On our Twitter account, at KCUR Up to Date, we're hearing all kinds of comments from parents. KC Midtowner writes, parents cut and run, he says, because media implies that it's the only option. The best option, take pride in Kansas City, Missouri, and figure it out. He also says, if the alternative is moving to the suburbs for greener pastures, then I stand by the Kansas City, Missouri public schools and stand up for those schools. Let's get it right, he says. One more cup. KC writes this, they should stick with it. I heard Dr. Green speak a few weeks ago, and I believe he's leading the district in a very good direction. Joining me now in the studio is Tricia Johnson of Show Me KC Schools. This is a website, showmekcschools.org, that helps Kansas City, Missouri parents find the right school for their children. And Tricia, welcome. So nice to have you here.
Nice to be here. Thanks, Steve.
So describe what your website is to us exactly. Tricia, what is it?
Well, exactly what you said. Show Me KC Schools is an online resource for parents living in Kansas City within the Kansas City Public School District who are trying to find the right school for their child. So it profiles 94 district, charter, and private schools, and every school has a mission statement, enrollment numbers, demographics, the application process, and test scores on a page within Show Me KC Schools. And in addition, it tries to give Kansas City parents a big picture about the educational landscape.
All the
Kansas
options
City.
That are available out there.
Exactly, exactly.
And there's a lot more options available than maybe a lot of parents might think.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Hey, did you do this all on your own? It's a lot of work.
I did. The idea wasn't just mine. It came from several of my friends who are also
Good for
parents.
You. Good for
with,
you.
I have two preschool-aged children. They're aged 3 and 4. And so a lot of my social group is also parents with young children who are really concerned about where we're going to send our children.
So you guys were sitting around sort of wondering, what in the heck are we going to do if we're confused? Surely a lot of other folks out there are confused, too.
That's exactly it. I remember we were having lunch together, and we were having the same conversation we've had so many times. Where are we going to send our children to school? And the idea came up, wouldn't it be great if there was one resource that had comprehensive information about all the Kansas City schools that our children could attend right here within the Kansas City Public School District. And so it was from that conversation that Show Me KC Schools was born.
And that website, again, showmekcschools.org. Well, you've done all the research. Have you decided where you're going to send your own kids someday?
You know, I am planning to send my girls to Crossroads Academy. My husband's an employee there, so I've had a rare opportunity to get to know several of the teachers and the principal, and I think they've created a really nice learning environment that I think my children would do well in.
Now, you've confined this to the Kansas City, Missouri School District. Do you now have a template you can take statewide and sell to the rest of the world, or do you not want to go there?
Yeah.
Too much work.
It's
right?
A lot of work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What kind of feedback are you getting about what you put out here?
You know, I've gotten really positive feedback so far. A lot of people have been using the phrase, it's filling a gap, which is great because that's exactly what this website intends to do. The schools have been excited to have a profile in another venue for parents to find out about their school. Kansas City Public Schools has also been very supportive as well.
Hey, I'm surprised that this kind of resource at the district already wasn't putting this information out. I mean, why did it take a private citizen like yourself, Tricia, to sort of, mount up and take this thing on?
Yeah, you know, the information is out there. You just have to dig for it. And so I moved to Kansas City 4 years ago and have spent the last 4 years trying to unravel the mystery of the political landscape in Kansas City. And so I wanted to share, you know, some of this research with other parents.
Well, I'm glad you did. And thank you for doing it. I'm sure a lot of other folks are going to thank you for doing it as well. Again, that website, showmekcschools.org, and we'll have a link to that on our webpage at kcur.org. Thanks for coming in, and thanks for talking about it,
Tricia. Thank you so much, Steve.
Okay. Let's go back to some phone calls at 816-235-2888. Again, 816-235-2888. Let's go to Joe from Kansas City, Missouri. Joe, good morning.
Good morning. Over the years, a number of people have placed their youngsters in charter schools, and we have come to find out that some of the charter schools are not as good as they ought to be or what we expected. When the changes come, will people who have their youngsters in charter schools, will they be allowed to transfer them also to other school districts?
Joe Robertson, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the law is that you just have to reside in the boundaries of the school district, of the unaccredited school district. So, yeah, I mean, that's part of the why this law is such a difficult one for schools, the receiving schools to deal with. It's hard to predict how many is going to come because we do have charter school families. They, if they were not happy at their charter school, if they're in Kansas City school district, they would be able to be part of this. If you were homeschooling or if you were paying tuition for private school, I mean, the law would give you the opportunity. You know, Normandy School District, which is doing this in St. Louis, having to do this, they are saying that they have had like about 200 people who are now – they are busing out in Normandy who were not attending their schools before this all started.
Mm-hmm. Joe,
What would be the effect on, you know, all the buildings and equipment and teachers that have been put into charter schools and they leave the district? Will this have – what kind of financial impact will this have on the district?
I mean, the charter school would, since they are independent. If a charter school were losing people they would have the same pressures on them. Now, I think it's less likely for charter schools to have this situation because these, you know, people have actively chosen these schools. But as we know, as we started off this newscast, I mean, not all the charter schools are having success. So, it's all in flux.
Thanks for the call, Gene from Belton. Gene, you're on Up to Date. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I have been listening, and I'm very, very concerned about Kansas City School District and what that means for our city. And one of the things that I think Mayor Sly James has really done well is come up with that Turn the Page KC program where you go in and you mentor with these children that are in these schools that are underserved, and they're at higher risk for, you know, just not getting as good of a good education as they do out in the suburbs.
Which means that people have to pitch in, Gene, is what you're saying.
Absolutely. But you cannot wait around for the government to bail this out or one man, the superintendent, to figure it out. If you're concerned about your city, get out there and help. Don't sit around and don't go to the gym, you know, if your kids are in school. Get yourself down to one of those schools and mentor somebody for an hour a day.
All right, Gene, I appreciate that phone call. That's a good way to end this segment of our show today. I want to thank Joe Robertson from the Kansas City Star for coming in and sharing all your great expertise, Joe. Always good to have you.
Great to be here, Steve. Thanks.